Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Do a clap. 3, 2, 1, clap. All right, there you go. All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1179. This is your host, Danny Pena. There's no Pete, no Paris for this on this episode, but we have a special guest here, my fiance, Rihanna Manuel. What's up, Rihanna?
Hello, hello, hello.
How's everything? How's everything with you?
Everything's good. We had an entire day to relax and play video games yesterday after a week of working remotely and traveling and family and visiting. And it was good to just be home for a little bit. I really appreciated that.
And you forgot another thing. We relaunch a
just relaunched a TV network in the middle of a pandemic. No big deal. People do that all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's been a very great experience. And let me tell you, a lot of people don't know this, but you and me, we always talk about this behind the scenes. But like, I can't believe in our lifetime, we actually launched a network. Not that many people can say that. You know what I'm saying?
And even fewer can say that they did it, you know, in quarantine and mostly remote. I know you just joined G4 and have been absolutely killing it on the team at XPlay, but I've been at G4 for over a year, and I just met most of my coworkers a couple of months ago, and we just started going back to the office with, you know, everybody's vaccinated, we test weekly, and we wear masks, but even just being in the same space with the people I'm creating things with has made such a difference, and it's wild to think that we had done any of it from home. It's just, it's really ridiculous to think about how hard it was, and the fact that we actually pulled it off is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, we have to talk about the press kit that you created, because I'm wearing the rope. And for those who don't know, Rhi and her team created this, man. So we're gonna talk about that in a few minutes. So let me promote this site here, and then we'll have our conversation and topics. We got some cool stuff to talk about here, man. All right, so head over to Gamertag Radio. Listen to our past episodes, and you also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio, and make sure to share it with your friends, subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. It will help us out big time. You will see the podcast climb the top of the charts because of your support. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we only have a couple weeks left. And after that, we're going to take a break for a couple weeks until next year. We definitely need that, because this year, honestly, we haven't really been taking a break this year at all. So I definitely need some space to just relax and just chill. Because, Reed, this is the thing I'm telling everybody, man. I have to get used to this 9-to-5 schedule again, because I haven't been working in a couple of years. Here's the thing. Like, everybody is trying to get used to this, you know, the whole, you know, working at the studio instead of working from home. You know, it's been a very long year for a lot of people, man. So before we go with the topics, I got to give you props, because I just love the press kit that you guys made for G4.
Thank you.
And this was sent for influencers and also the media. So how was the process of just coming up with this, like, the rope that I'm wearing right now? And also the candle that I think it was called the last day of a convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know there was a couple other items that was included in there, man. So, but you want to talk about it a little bit
before
we go to the next topic? Yeah.
Yeah. And just a quick overview of, you know, what my team does, what I do as director of brand at G4. Any and everything that's marketing, influencer stuff, our socials, our community channels, and our PR, you know, that's all up to my team under Blair Herter, who you just had an interview with on an episode of Gamer Tech Radio. If you haven't listened to that, please go check it out, because the way he speaks about our team and the work that we do and what we're really building long term here at G4 and our legacy is really important. And I think, you know, that message is best when it's shared wide as far as possible. But yeah, what we do is figure out how to get people to talk about G4, which is a tricky thing because, you know, we have a scrappy little resource pile, not a lot of people on the team. And, you know, we had to get really creative. So when we were thinking about our press kit, you know, people have seen these, you know, you have the unboxings that influencers and journalists and YouTubers and podcasters do where, you know, a game is coming out or there's a new publisher that has some stuff coming up and they'll send you a bunch of goodies, right? They'll send like a controller or a headset or a gun that you can build or a little dog with wheels on the back of it. Like there's all kinds of things that they do to get you to get excited about whatever they're doing and post about it. So when we thought about it for G4, it's tough because a lot of people remember what G4 used to be before it went off air, and a lot of people don't. So we had to really establish what G4 is now. And the way I like to describe it is high quality, low bar, where we make the stupidest things you could possibly imagine, but we do it really, really well. And that carried over into the way we chose our items for the press kit. So, you know, if you were to get a luxury, like relaxation, self-care kit, which is sort of the inspiration for all of the items, well, most of the items, what would it look like if G4 did it? If you're going to get a robe, it's beautiful, it's plush, it's silky, it's warm, but it has like one of the gaudiest prints you could imagine on it. And this gigantic, like, racing label slap on the back of it of huge G4 metaglyph. Or if you were to get a beautiful scented candle meant to light and, you know, relax and really, you know, set your mood for your evening of gaming, what does it smell like? Well, with G4, it smells like the last day of a convention. It's Axe body spray and pancakes and, you know, the last sip of your drink from the night before. So we really had a lot of fun with it. And my team is incredible. The partner we worked with, Triple Clicks, was absolutely stellar in coming up with great vendors for these things that were down to clown. I sniffed a lot of stinky candles. We tried a lot of different robe looks and, you know, we ended up with a really good kit. And of course, we shouted out some of our partners like SteelSeries and WWE and teased a couple of things like our D&D show with a really luxurious set of dice that are in the G4 color. So that's how it all came together. And my favorite item, the ratty pillow, is definitely the one that I'm the most proud of, because we came up with the idea and I said, well, what if we made a body pillow out of this horrifying puppet that we used? And it's definitely coming back. And it feels really good. Like, I know a lot of people don't have the pillow, but, and if you see it, it looks really snuggly, but it actually is really soft and luxe. So again, I go back to the whole angle and the branding that I'm establishing for G4's return. It's like high quality, low bar. It's very, very stupid, but it's actually pretty premium.
All right, good, good. No, I really like it a lot. And the feedback has been great, seeing a lot of people, especially our friends that also got a package. And it's been very, very positive so far, man. And very funny videos I've been seeing online too, where people, so.
Yeah, I'm glad people like it. And there's more going out, so, you know, keep your eyes peeled. There may be some coming your way. If you talked about G4 while we were getting ready to relaunch, then you may see something in your inbox soon.
Ooh, there you go. There you go. All right. So we're going to the Game Awards for the first time in a couple of weeks. Actually, next week, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the 9th.
The 9th. I'm very excited because I've never attended the event. I know this is going to be local for us, so we could just, you know, drive from there, from here, from the house. And the best part about going to this event, this is going to be the first time that we're going to get to see a lot of people. We haven't seen, there's people that we haven't seen since like E3 2019, PAX East, and other places, you know. So I'm very excited because this is the first in-person event for the industry. So what do you think about that? Because I'm very excited. And we're going together, you know. You're my date.
Of course.
Of course, you know. Very, very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm beyond excited. As you said, there's been a long time between when we saw many of our favorite people in the industry and people who are truly friends. I know, for instance, Brittany Brombacher from What's Good Games. I haven't seen her since before she got pregnant. So, you know, I can't wait to see my friends and hug them and, you know, celebrate gaming with them. And this is actually my first Game Awards, too. I've been on the judges panel for a couple years with What's Good Games, but I've never been able to make it down for the actual show. So it's really exciting. I'm glad the event is being run responsibly and safely. You know, we had to post pictures of our vaccine cards and everyone will be masked up, but it'll be just so nice to sit in the audience and see the premieres that are planned and, you know, get hype again and maybe feel like we're a little bit more back to a sense of normalcy in our event schedule.
Yeah, and not only that, we also want to celebrate, you know, the industry has been a very rough couple years, right? Since this whole pandemic, and yeah, I think this is a great time for us to celebrate, not only as an industry, but also the community and everything. So, but Jeff Keighley posted a tweet, a very interesting tweet that I really want to hear your theory about this.
Oh,
but,
yeah, I have a theory.
Okay, so he posted this yesterday. He said, just saw the final cut of the Game Awards world premiere we have been working on with a developer for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Truly honored that we're trusted to share this work with the world. Now, he also replied to that tweet because a lot of people are like, yo, what is it that Jeff is trying to say here, man? So he said, 2.5 years sounds like a long time.
It does.
But summer of 2019 was actually my last tour to visit developers. I always have so much fun visiting studios and hearing about their projects. Hope to do it again in 2022. Ree.
Yes.
I know before we started recording, you said you have a theory about this, but I'm very curious to hear what is your theory of what Jeff is trying to say about this.
Yeah. So, of course, I immediately went and looked up. I was like, what games are still in development that we've heard about for a while, right? So there's, you know, some bangers, like maybe Wolf Among Us would come back. That's a shot in the dark and definitely a pie-in-the-sky dream of mine because I loved The Wolf Among Us. Or maybe it'll be that Bioshock sequel that's floating around or something like that. But what I think it is, and bear with me because I have a very elaborate theory that supports this, and it could be completely wrong. Probably is, but I'm still going to share it with you. So my theory is it's the latest game from Obsidian, and here's why. We had, as you know, Obsidian acquired by Microsoft back in 2018, they announced that. And then only a month later at the Game Awards, they actually showed their new property, The Outer Worlds, in 2018. So 2018, right? 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. At the Game Awards, they announced The Outer Worlds. So clearly they were already talking to Keighley, talking about gaming stuff premiering and coming out. And they announced a new property there. So we have precedent, number one. Number two, later when the Grounded game was announced, that was back in 2019, so they had a year, and obviously they announced it. They have a pattern of announcing games while they're starting up the new one, right? Because they like to work with simultaneous teams to be developing more than one game at a time, usually two or three. So that's 2019. Then in 2020 at the Xbox Game Showcase, which probably would have been a different event had it not been quarantine and all of the marketing plans got thrown off. But in 2020, in the summertime, they announced Avowed. Now, everybody got excited about Avowed because it looks, you know, super fantasy. There's an arrow. Everybody loves that shit. So 2020 summertime, they announced it, but they were definitely in development longer than that. Again, marketing plans get shifted back because of COVID. So if you're thinking maybe they had a year and change developing that, they probably were talking to Keighley about how they're going to reveal it even before that. Again, precedent back to 2018. They announced stuff at the Game Awards. So if you fast forward to this year, 2021, if you think a summer and a half ago, they started teasing with Keighley, hey, the next thing we do, we want to show the first gameplay at your show. This is why I think Avowed is going to be on that screen when we're at the Game Awards on Thursday the 9th.
Yeah, I mean, I also have theories too, but remember when he says world premiere, it could be anything. It could be first time showing the trailer of a game that already has been revealed.
It could be, but Avowed has been revealed.
Yeah, yeah. And this other game suit, or could it be a brand new reveal? Because look, the warding, he's careful with the warding here.
Sure.
Very, very careful because, Jeff doesn't want to say everything here. Mm-hmm. You want to keep it everything as a surprise. And here's the thing, for those who don't know, well, I'm going to go back to 2019 when Xbox showed and revealed the Xbox Series X. There was no tease about that at mm-hmm. all. Nobody was expecting that. And during rehearsals, they even had a fake script for Phil Spencer to read. And they had like a fake trailer while they were doing the rehearsals, right? Because they didn't want this to get leaked. The only person they had the trailer of the Xbox Series X during that time was Jeff. Because yeah. I was reading the tweets from not only Cindy Walker, but also Aaron Greenberg and a couple of folks from the marketing team. And there was even people from the marketing team that had no idea this was going to be shown at the Game Awards. Now, ever since then, and even I know there was a couple of titles back then. I think the Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, that was also revealed for the first time, gameplay wise, during the Game Awards. So it looks like more and more companies are showing games similar to premiering during E3, right? I think things are changing. Jeff Keighley has the numbers, has the audience that's going to be watching this, and also the buzz, because there's nothing else happening during this month.
Yeah, it's all about the Game Awards. We're definitely dry on gaming events throughout the year. You know, mm-hmm. like I said before, quarantine and COVID really rocked every industry, including the gaming industry. And believe me, I saw it firsthand. Marketing plans got made and remade and then thrown out the window, and they just said, whatever, we'll figure it out. So there's lots of stuff that has been in development, in the kitchen cooking, that people are ready to show. And that's why I keep going back to something like Avowed. If it's not Avowed, it's something like Avowed. It's something that we would have seen at E3, but it's happening now.
Yeah. What are the chances of seeing something from Nintendo?
I don't know. I can never guess Nintendo's moves, man. They're so unique and so special.
Yeah, I know I read some tweets of, hey, could it be Zelda or so on? But here's the thing about Nintendo. They're very careful and picky on what to show. You know, they like to have everything themselves, the Nintendo Direct and so on. So, I don't know. I just mentioned Nintendo because you never know.
You really don't. But, you never know with Nintendo. Yeah. They could have a whole Direct inside the Game Awards and we'd have no clue until it happened.
Yeah. Now, do you think this is a third-party announcement, or do you think it's one of the big three, Nintendo, Xbox, or PlayStation, they're actually going to show something here?
I think it's one of the big three for sure.
One of the big three still. Okay.
It's if it's not a first party, it's an exclusive. That's my guess.
That's your guess. All right. Well, for those that are watching and listening, please let us know your theories, because I'm very, very curious about this, Ree. Now, what is one game that you would love to see while we're sitting down enjoying the Game Awards and Jeff has a surprise and they show the trailer for the first time? Do you want a game to return or you want something new?
I have lots of wishes. I already mentioned the Wolf Among Us sequel, but I know that's probably dead in the water. Girl Can Dream. Something I would love to see is another Titanfall game. We've been loving our time with Apex. Obviously, we talk about that a lot on this show and online, but I'm ready for another campaign. Titanfall 2's campaign was absolutely stellar. And if they have it in them to be doing all of the great work they're doing, keeping up Apex Legends with different seasonal updates and maps and legends, and they could also be working on TF3 at the same time, that would be incredible. I won't even joke about Half-Life. We're not going to see it. And it would also be great if we could get something kind of out of the blue. I love new IP. I love getting excited about games. Like we had a lot of movement over the summer with new IP, maybe some smaller titles, some AA's. But it would be great to see another AAA that we could put on our radars. You know, as part of the voting for the Game Awards, we voted on our most anticipated game. And I realized, we've heard about them all for a while. So I'm looking for some fresh meat. I want something new in there.
yeah, I want some new games, especially indies. I would like to see a lot of the indie games get shine during the Game Awards. You know,
yeah.
Not just the big studios, but show us some games like similar to like Death's Door or Ori, or you know, games like that that's from the indie side. How you call that, Ree? You call that the high end indie game, right? How you guys call it from the marketing side? When it comes like a game like that has like a lot of budget.
The marketing world and the publishing world hasn't really established one name. I call them triple indies because
triple indies. How you call it?
They're indies with a lot of publishing power behind them, and they're still a small team. They're still working really hard with not a lot of resources, but they have the support to get it out the door. And I mean that anybody will call it anything, but yeah, I would love to see that too.
Awesome. All right, so the next topic that I would like to talk to you about is the Xbox Series S. I was reading that during Black Friday, it was the most popular console. And I have a theory about this, by the way. But I posted this online that the Xbox Series S, I think, is the obvious choice, in my opinion, because of the price, plus it's next gen. And Game Pass is, to me, the highlight. Yeah. And I think, in my opinion, the Xbox Series S is my favorite console of this generation, more than the X, and I have both consoles. So I mentioned that, and a lot of people were replying to me saying, oh, why do you want that console? You're not getting 4K. No, that's not. Like, people were just replying with craziness, right? So the reason why I said that is because I like the console. I love the design. It's small. You tell me, because you were also purchased one, and you have it. The setup is really, really nice. Like, I know it's going to look better if we have the Series X over there, right, on the main TV. But I know I really enjoyed the Series S, man. I think that, to me, is the best console, in my opinion, for this generation. But I'm glad that this is selling a lot. But also, one thing that people have been mentioning is there's a lot of copies. There's a lot of consoles and stores, because, and this was a smart decision by Xbox, is to send it out, because you can't find a Series X, you can't find a PlayStation 5, especially during Black Friday. If there were some boxes available for those consoles, it was very small, but there was more of the Series S. So what's your opinion about this, of this console being the number one most popular console, more than the Switch, more than any other consoles out there for during Black Friday of this year?
Yeah, I mean, you already kind of said it. I think I saw a tweet from somebody, maybe Matt Piscatella or someone on this subject, saying, you know, the console that will sell the most during this holiday season is the one that has the most in stock, period. Point blank, end of sentence. Of course, we in the gaming enthusiast community love to tout 4K resolutions and OLED screens and 120 hertz refresh rates, but most people don't know or care about any of that. They want a thing that they can play a thing on and give to their families. So whatever's there is what's going to get purchased. And, you know, as you said, the Series S is in stock. Now, why is that? Because the chip shortage is still very much a thing. And this is, again, outside of our industry, affecting everything. You can't even rent a car right now, depending on what city you go to, because chip shortages are making it difficult for manufacturing lines to get cars off the line in order to get to the rental companies. So it is really hard to purchase something that has a chip in it right now, including PS5s and Xboxes. And the digital version of the Series S is just easier for them to make. It's a smaller form factor. It's easier to ship. It doesn't take as much room, and it costs less. So if you put all those factors together, yeah, maybe the digital PS5 would make sense to show up more often, but for some reason, PlayStation just isn't getting it done. And what we're seeing is more Series S's in stores, more Series S's being bought. Now, it'll be interesting to see if the Nintendo OLED is able to keep up with that, because it is the newest Nintendo form factor, but they haven't really done as big of a marketing push as Xbox for that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where the chips fall, but where the chips fall. I didn't do that on purpose, I swear.
But, right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll definitely be the Series S, because it's the most readily available and it's the easiest accessibility as far as like purchasing games, playing games on it, because you just get Game Pass like everything else we subscribe to, and you know, the family can play whatever they want.
Yeah, agreed. And I know there was one reply of a person was telling me, well, you know, the storage is not that much and, you know, family's going to spend more money on that. And I was thinking the majority of people, honestly, they only will play only like maybe a handful of games. That's it. They don't play a lot of games like we do. We're always constantly just downloading, deleting games, right? Every single time. Even with people with Game Pass, they will probably get that one game that they play a lot. And that's it. That's all they will play.
Yeah. You know, and I have Halo Infinite, Apex Legends, Far Cry 6. What else? I have a lot of big games on that console right now, and it's fine. So the average user will not run into that issue. And even if you do, again, with the Series S, it is very easy to extend your storage. You just plug in an extended hard drive. It makes it a lot more accessible, again, than the PlayStations, which... You know, people want something easy. They want something they can wrap their head around without having to do a ton of research.
Yeah, no, definitely. And for those who are listening, please let me know if that was also your console of choice for this Black Friday or for this holiday season. Let us know, and I'll play it on the podcast or I'll read your email. Now, Reed, let's go to the next topic, and this is the one that I really can't wait to talk about it with you. Is Halo Infinite multiplayer. You know, we've been really busy with the launch of G4, and also we went to travel. But, you know, we were getting a lot of messages from our friends and also from people in the community that wanted to play with me or with you online Halo Infinite. So I'm enjoying it so much. I think Halo is back. I think that multiplayer side, because we haven't seen the campaign yet fully. I'm really enjoying Halo Infinite. It reminds me of the old days of Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3. You know, playing LAN parties or playing online with friends, and the competitive in there online is amazing. It's been so far has been really challenging. Some just fun, and others has just been really random. Every time we play, right now we've been playing a lot of the Fiesta. I know there's like a live event right now that's happening. It's going to end by the time you listen to this podcast, but you will also unlock new items and everything. I know there's been feedback from the community of the progression that takes a long time, and I know they made some changes 343 to make the process even faster, and I also purchased a battle pass. I know the season is going to end sometime next year, I think around May, I think it was the last time I read. That's a very long season.
Yeah,
but as long there's a lot of new content and stuff to do in there, I'm fine with it. And there's other playlists I would love to see in there. You know, I want to see, for those that don't want to play multiplayer, with friends, maybe individual playlists, right? For Slayer, stuff like that, have different challenges also for big team battle, etc. But I'm enjoying it a lot. And I love also changing the armor of my character. I've been having a blast just unlocking and just making some changes, because I went online yesterday, and a lot of people were like, "Oh my god, I like this outfit of yours, man! It's really cool." You know, some of them I purchased, and some of them I just been unlocking through the event, also through the battle pass. So, having a great time. So, Reed, what about you? Because I know we were playing yesterday. Oh my god, for so long! I think we started around the afternoon, and we ended like around 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. We were straight just playing. Yeah. We took a little break during the afternoon, but nonstop.
Yeah, I definitely agree with your sentiment. Like, Halo is back. It feels better than ever. It's very different. You know, you can sprint. There are all kinds of new weapons and power-ups, but it feels incredible. And just some of the quality of life changes that they've made to multiplayer have really, really improved the experience for me personally. I've recently went back and played the remastered Halo 1 with Andrew Renee back on What's Good Games. We were streaming it. And even going back and forth between the up-res graphics, like, the controls are still the same, right? You can't sprint. You can't slide, really. Like there's a lot of things that felt outdated in the way that you move and experience the game. And something as simple as going through and customizing each of my buttons on my controller, it is just, it makes it feel better than I remembered it feeling. Like, you know how there's a lot of things where we experience nostalgia about, and when you go back and try to replay it or rewatch it, it doesn't feel as good as you remember it feeling. That's because you're used to new updates, right? We're used to different HUD options and, you know, better frame rates, and all of these things make the game feel real and current, and it feels perfect with the gameplay of Halo, which is, in my opinion, the best of any PvP shooter. It still feels like I remember, but updated for today. And all of the new game modes, I've of course, I'm waiting to see more when, you know, we get updates over the coming months and years. But the ones we have right now are really fun. We played almost all Fiesta yesterday. There are maybe a handful of matches of big team battle, but Fiesta, where you spawn with a random primary, secondary, and what is it called? A equipment loadout every time you respawn, forces you to get to know the new stuff. And it is a fantastic way to get acclimated to the game. If you go in, you know, you have low expectations, you expect mayhem, you'll enjoy it. And it's it is an absolute wild time, and, you know, ripe for hilarious clips and funny moments. And I couldn't be happier with a new game mode, and I couldn't be happier with the new Halo multiplayer.
What you think of the weapons? Are you already used to it? Are there some weapons that it took me a while for me to get used to?
There's some I love, like the skewer, and I've not ever loved a sniper the way I love the skewer. The grapple hook is not a weapon and equipment, but whew, that grapple hook, oh my God, the things you can do with it are just absolutely amazing. But there are definitely some lowlights. The Ravager, I have no idea what to do. It is literally like throwing a freaking baseball in my hands. Like, I can't hurt anybody with it at all. I usually kill myself with it and or die immediately. There's like a shock rifle that I do not get, even though it supposedly shoots like any other rifle. It's useless when I have it. But there's definitely some ones that feel great the way they used to. The rocket launcher, amazing. The hammer, incredible, even though the reach is a little bit too far. The sword, you still dash at people. And when you put that sword with a grapple hook, oh me oh my, it is a problem for everybody on the other team. So I adore the way that they have redone their weapons and updated them, with a few minor exceptions. But of course, they'll tweak that stuff over time.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Are we going to take a short break here on Gamertag Radio? But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Coinbase. Do you identify as crypto curious? If you thought about entering the world of cryptocurrency but felt a little overwhelmed, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, and I mean everyone and everywhere, should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, just like me, Coinbase can help. Muchcoin, Suchbase. If you've been following the cryptocurrency craze, now is the time to get involved. Coinbase makes it quick and easy to start your own portfolio and learn to trade like a pro. If you've been looking to level up your financial portfolio, it's always good to diversify. Why not think about cryptocurrency? Backed by the world's leading investors, Coinbase keeps your portfolio safe and secure while adding crypto into the mix. Now, I created an account a couple months back. It's almost a year for me. And I also got recommended by my fiance Rihanna, and has been a great, it's super easy. And also, I have a lot of friends that have been also trying it out. And you could also try this out for the first time. And I'm going to give you details in a few minutes. But first, Coinbase offers a trust and easy to use platform to buy, sell, and even spend cryptocurrency. And like I said also before, it's super, super easy to use this app. I have it on my phone, and I also get notifications every time there's some new changes or notifications. It's super, super easy. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market and makes them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. So this is how you GTR listeners could get involved and also check it out for the first time. For a limited time, new users could get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/GTR. Sign up at coinbase.com/GTR for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time, so be sure to sign up today and take advantage of this right now. That's coinbase.com/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
You know what I noticed? The shotgun is not that strong. It's not that powerful compared to the other weapons in the game.
Their range is definitely too short for the amount of damage you expect to do compared to the other weapons. It almost feels as though it's a handgun. And you maybe need 3 shots at mid distance, like a few, you know, people, a few bodies away from somebody in order to take them down, which doesn't feel right as far as a shotgun should fire. You really do have to be in their face in order to get a one hit kill. And you don't, you're almost better off just running around with a hand cannon.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird. But hey, the sword is still good.
Yeah.
The gravity hammer is really, really good too. Those are like my top weapons for close combat. You know, for now, the sniper, I've been okay with it. Now, here's the thing that I like about the sniper this time around is if somebody's looking at you and they're sniping, you see that like this like bright light, and that's when you know, okay, somebody is trying to snipe me.
Before, and not only that, you know what type of sniper they have based on the color of that lens flare.
That is true. I forgot about that. But before, it was more of the red dot, you know, back in the days, you know. So, but have you been pretty good at doing the no scope? Because that happened a couple of times for me.
I've gotten a couple. I mean, usually by accident, because I was running around frantic and all I had in my hands was a sniper because the other thing ran out of ammo. But
yeah.
It is very forgiving with the no scopes. I will say they do feel very possible in this game. And again, if you have a dash or that good grapple, you can no scope pretty easily.
Yeah, so what are the playlists that you're planning to play once the event ends this week? Actually, in a day, by tomorrow.
Honestly, way more Fiesta. Like, I could do a good 5 more hours of Fiesta before it's over. Obviously, Big Team Battle was always a good go-to. Mm-hmm. And I would like to do a little more Slayer just to get an idea of like where the map populations are and like the popular camping areas and get a little bit more map awareness, because obviously Big Team and Fiesta are a little bit too chaotic to really find patterns for players and where they typically like to go and camp and move and rotate. So yeah, just some good old Slayer to maybe round out the day.
Well, for me, I want to try out more of the rank playlist. But I was going to mention, you know, shout out to my brother, Nano. He's a huge Halo fan, huge. And actually, I want to have him on here so we could talk about more about tips and tricks for Halo, because he actually gave us a tip on how to set up the game when it comes to like the view, the sensitivity of your controller, and everything. And honestly, I think that helped us a lot to play even better because of that. And we made some changes. And I think he was mentioning to us that a lot of the pro players made those changes because, you know, they're getting ready to compete and everything in the future. So I think that was really, really cool of him to give me those tips, man. And hopefully we could do the same, Ree. And we could mention it on the podcast and share that to our community, because I want everybody to also become a good player online, you know, so.
Yeah, and once again, just shout out to the accessibility of Halo. And most shooters have a lot of this, but in particular, this menu was very impressive. There's so many options. There are so many options for customization. Like, you can change the color of your teammates, the color of your enemies, your field of view, obviously the speed at which you look in the Y-axis or the X-axis. Like, there's just so many things you can do to make this game feel better for whatever you need in your brain and your body. And it's absolutely wonderful. It definitely made a huge difference. So if anybody's looking for tips and stuff, you know, hit up Danny, hit up Nano. They know how to make it better.
Yeah, definitely. I know the next event that's happening is sometime in February. So stay tuned for that. And I can't wait for the new cosmetics that's going to be available in the game. And so very hooked. I've been playing this. Look, even this morning I woke up. I'm like, hey, you know what? Got my coffee. And I'm like, all right, let me play some Halo. And I played some couple matches right before we started to record here, man. So, Ree, for those that, you know, haven't played Halo in a long time, what is it that, in your opinion, makes this game so much fun to play with not only with randoms, but also with your friends online that, you know, they probably haven't experienced this in a very long time? For me, I could go way back with, you know, the original Halo and Halo 2. Those are like my favorite moments of playing online during those times, because I feel like it was like an event. Everybody was together and playing and everything, and it feels like that again with this. I know we got that before with like games like Fortnite and in Apex, but I think it's different with Halo. Do you agree?
I definitely agree, and I think what makes this one special is, again, that classic feel, that tried and true gameplay formula from the original Combat Evolved all the way up until now. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought of a really stupid analogy, so I'll share it. If OG Halo is pizza rolls, then Halo Infinite is a dollar slice with your friends after you just went out and had a great time. Like, it feels like the grown-up version of what you remember loving so much, and it is actually better, objectively. It feels good. You know, you have your shields refresh after a few seconds, so it does change the way that the gameplay moves and the pacing compared to most shooters out there, which usually rely on stim or health packs or revives. It's fast. You feel powerful. When you die, it usually feels fair. You at least know why you died. You're not left wondering, like, what the balance is. You know very quickly what the balance is. You may not like it, but you can quickly determine what's supposed to happen when somebody pulls a trigger. It just feels great. Like, it just really feels great. It's a shooter that is very familiar and approachable, but it's definitely updated. And if you've never played Halo, I would say it's like having really greasy pizza for the first time. You know, it's like, oh my God, it goes down so smooth. And you know, maybe it's not good for you because you'll end up spending 5 hours straight playing one game mode when you're supposed to be doing laundry or unpacking from your trip. But it's still really fun, and highly recommend it. Even if you're playing alone, go ahead and jump in a Fiesta. Go ahead and jump in a big team. Hop on a Mongoose. Die really fast. Respawn. Get back in there. It is just so much fun. And don't focus too much on your KD or your accuracy. That will come with time. But more than anything, this is really a great playground to just try out some new feels for a shooter. And, you know, I couldn't agree more that Halo is back.
Yeah, this is a question from the chat for those that are listening to the podcast. This is from Alyssa. She wrote, how will you convince someone who's never played Halo to give it a try?
Oh, I want to hear your answer first.
Honestly, I always will say to people, look, if you really enjoy like games like Apex, I think Apex and Halo Infinite multiplayer seems similar when it comes to, besides the battle royale, but seems similar to when it comes to, you know, attacking others and having those Slayer matches. It's kind of the same in my opinion, especially if you play like a game like Arenas. I think you could also compare from that. And plus, the game is free. So there's no way you're not, you know, buying any game. You just download the game and you could just try it out. And maybe from there, test it out and see if it's for you. Another way, too, is get together with a couple of friends, because this game is available for PC, for Xbox Series S and X, and also the Xbox One. And if there's someone that don't have none of those and doesn't have a very powerful gaming PC, hey, give them a try through xCloud, because I was even playing this in Miami just as a test, and it was pretty good. It played awesome. Played really, really good. No lag or nothing, man. So
And that was on your laptop?
And that was on my laptop, on the Mac, Chrome. I used the Chrome browser, and it was perfect. Yeah. Actually, my brother was actually tested out. And I was like, all right, this is good. This is really, really good. So that's what I will tell people, man. Just try it out. And the most important thing is it's free. So there's going to be a lot of new people playing it because of that. You know, I think it's going to be way more than the older games of Halo.
Yeah. I would definitely agree. The one thing that I think may convince some people who maybe aren't the biggest fans or don't feel the most confident playing games like Call of Duty, Battlefield, or Apex is that Halo is, you're meant to die a lot at the beginning. Like when you're starting out, like you get hit, you back up, find a corner, your shields regenerate. You don't need somebody to come revive you. You're not calling out for a respawn. You know, it's definitely, and I said this several times, more accessible. It's more forgiving. If you really just want to run in and shoot some stuff and fly a rocket and drive a car off the edge of a cliff, you can do all that and it's fine. And there's not as much pressure when you're playing a lot of these games, especially in the game modes that we mentioned. You don't get criticized if you're not performing well enough. You know, like you go on and you have fun. And I think that's probably the most appealing aspect of Halo multiplayer right now. Obviously, there's ranked and there's people who will take it very seriously and compete and show, you know, the highest level of professional play. But for most, it's just a playground with a bunch of weapons in it. And, you know, you can get up to some shenanigans by yourself or with friends. So definitely try it out. Like Danny said, it's free. Just give it a go.
Yeah, and now don't worry so much of like the ranked matches and everything. Just have fun with it, like Ree was saying. And, you know, I always will tell people to, of course, to give it a try. But the reason why I'm so hooked with this too, it's not a Battle Royale game. It's something different. You know, we've been playing Battle Royale now for a couple of years, and that has been like the trend. And the question I was going to ask you, Ree, do you think this game needs a Battle Royale to be a successful game? Or do you think Halo Infinite for what it is and making those changes on the playlist and maybe add Battle Royale in the future, you know, but focus on what Halo used to be from the beginning, that fun multiplayer game. What do you think?
The people on stream can't see me. I am emphatically shaking my head. No, Halo absolutely does not need a Battle Royale. Would it be cool? Probably, if, you know, the developer and the directors can figure out a way to make it make sense and to make it fit for, again, this very different type of shooter gameplay. Mm-hmm. But no, it doesn't need it at all. It is perfect the way it is. And obviously they'll make changes and updates, like I said before, over the coming months and years. But it absolutely does not need Battle Royale to be fun. It's fun now. And if you're looking for a more competitive play, that's also there now too. So I don't think Halo is missing Battle Royale. I think maybe Battle Royale may be missing Halo. Maybe it would give a new perspective and a new take on that gameplay mode. Because, again, you know, reviving is so different when you don't have it. Or, you know, your shields respawn like over time. Your health comes back over time. Like it's not the same type of shooter. But it really isn't necessary for this game to be worth playing at all.
Yeah, 100% agree. Anything else, Ree, before we wrap it up here?
Yeah, I mean, as we get into the holidays, I encourage people to find games they haven't played yet. You know, give some love to indies, some smaller creators. Do whatever you can on mobile that makes sense, that doesn't break your entire wallet. You know, explore, you know, try different things. There are, of course, some really amazing AAA premium experiences out there, but there's some even more worthwhile, smaller experiences that a lot of people miss out on. So, you know, do some digging, look at indie lists, look at some smaller outlet game of the year lists, and, you know, try something new.
Yeah, definitely. And for those who are listening, make sure to go to our Discord and maybe recommend some games that we have never played before from the indie side, you know, or if you want to play games, you know, with other community members of Halo, hey, let's get together and play it, man. I'm down for that too, man. So I know yesterday I had the room was pretty full for the stuff that we were working on, especially the Fiesta event. And we were doing that all day, and people were hitting me up from Discord. Hey, Dan, let's play. But next time hit me up and we'll probably get together. And we'll do like a big team battle, all of us from GTR. I think it will be a lot of fun if we could do that. Or maybe if we have more people, we could do a custom matches, right, Ravi?
Yeah, you can stream it.
Yeah, we'll stream that. That'll be a lot of fun. Lots of fun. All right, everyone, head over to Gamertag Radio. com. Post your comments and feedback and listen to our past episodes. Make sure to search for us on any podcast app and just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post a review whenever you get the chance. That will help us out. And also spread the word. Tell people about GTR. You know, I've been getting a lot of messages through email or through Twitter that a lot of people have been discovering us just by browsing an app or browsing through Google, and they'll find us, you know, based on the topic that we have. So it's really cool to see that from everybody. So thank you so much for the support. Also, if you would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Ari, anything you would like to promote before we wrap it up?
No, not this time around. You know, be safe, be smart, be good to each other. Try not to complain too much. Look for the blessings. It's tough times out there, but there are lots of really amazing things happening if you give a little love and know where to look. So that's it.
And you're not going to mention your Twitter, your social media? People won't like to
follow you? Rihanna tweets now, whatever.
Hey. It's good to follow you. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm a good follow.
And also, I want to mention this. Rhi and I, we purchased 2 TVs during Black Friday. So I'm very excited because this is... Look, I played 4K gaming before, but I left my TV back home. And I just bought a brand new TV with Rhi. And we bought a 65-inch and a 55-inch.
Yeah, the Samsung Q70 series.
Q70 series. Yeah. It looks really good, man. So... I've been playing the 55-inch. I've been playing with the Xbox Series X, the Series S on the 65-inch TV, and it looks great, right, Rhi? Compared to the ones that we had before.
Absolutely beautiful. We were on, you know, borrowed 1080p screens, which are wonderful, and we're very grateful for our friends who gave us TVs when we moved. Yeah. But it honestly, when we booted up that screen and it did the, you know, how the new TVs have like all of the panoramic views of the Amazon, and then, you know, a zoom close up on an iris of an eye, and you're like, oh my God, look at the colors. And I literally gasped when we saw it for the first time, because it took my breath away. It is a whole new world. And these TVs are bigger than the ones we previously had. So really looking forward to some movie nights, watch some Jingle Jangle, some Christmas movies. It's going to be a good time.
Hell yeah. And actually, two things we recommend. Make sure to watch Arcane on Netflix. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That series is crazy good. Oh, my God. It's so good. Plus, look, I don't know anything about League of Legends, but I'm so hooked with this series.
Made me download and try to start playing Wild Rift on my phone. I didn't, because then we were flying and I didn't have any signal. But yeah. I tried. It got me that far. So you did it, Arcane. You got a near purchase out of me.
And also, there's a new movie that just came out on HBO Max. It's called 8-Bit Christmas. It's about a kid that his dream is to have a Nintendo system.
Yeah, in the late 80s. The console craze back then. We haven't watched it yet, no, but my mom watched it and she said it was cute and that we should check it out.
Yeah, we'll definitely watch it. So I'm just recommending for people that, you know, taking some time to just relax and want to play some games, you just want to watch a cool movie or a series, there you go. Highly recommend it. All right, everyone, thank you for watching and listening to episode 1179. Reed, thank you so much for joining super last minute, but it was a lot of fun. I always have a great time talking to you, just recording here on the podcast is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's almost like we like each other or something.
I know, right? Or engaged. I don't know.
Weird.
It's weird. All right, everyone, thank you so much for watching and listening. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.